Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Right. Thank you for that card that basically just has on the front balls. And we'll put that in the show note too. It's really cool. Thank you.
Balls.
Balls. It was great. I opened it up.
Like, as soon as I saw it in the store, I was like, well, I have to get this one.
Right.
I was going to get you a Mickey Mouse one, but this was
Mickey Mouse is, if it had balls and Mickey Mouse on it at the same time,
that's just a little weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah. Look
at my balls.
You shouldn't say things like that.
I know. They might be listening. They probably are listening.
They're always listening.
A mouse always listens.
On that note, welcome to the show. Welcome to episode number 139 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am 1 year older and maybe not wiser, but I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave is here.
And George motherfucking Tripsis.
We're taking role now. I'm here today.
Today I'm here.
So how you guys been doing? It's been a couple weeks. Everybody's had a lot of stuff on their plates.
Yeah. Been busy. House work, construction finally happening.
Yeah. How's that going?
Slow process, but going.
The rebuilding process, huh?
Yeah.
How far along are they on the...
They just started. So, okay. Yeah. It just started this week.
A couple weeks it takes? Or
It will be about a month.
Oh, wow.
Until it's all done.
Huh? Jeez.
Yep.
So are these guys in your house while you're at work?
Yeah, my parents are like... house sitting while they were working.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is what it is.
You don't have to say too much on air, but, you know.
Yeah. No, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. I have to work to pay them.
Right.
So.
It's true.
What about you, Dave?
I'm about almost halfway through this season of the Texas Renaissance Festival, and that's basically been my life.
How's it going so far?
It's improving as the weather is starting to cool off.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was unseasonably hot the first couple weekends. It was, at one point, it was like heat index of 114.
Is that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
I was in Dallas a couple weeks ago and it was like that.
It was ridiculous.
Crazy hot.
Yeah. So people are not happy to be out in that.
No.
And they
especially in those costumes, I'm sure,
yeah,
too.
They don't.
Unless you're wearing one of the skimpy ones. Where you show a lot of skin. This goes for guys and girls.
Is that what you're going
to
wear?
Oh, no, there are. Like, you're not kidding. Like, especially not this weekend, but following weekend, I think, is the Barbarian Invasion weekend. Because every weekend is themed.
What's
right?
this coming up weekend?
This is All Hallows Eve. Is this weekend?
Oh, Hallows Eve.
Yeah, this is a good one. Yeah.
I have free Sunday tickets.
I should
come out.
You should. So this
where
is a good one.
Free Sunday tickets.
At the free Sunday ticket store? I don't know.
We'll talk.
Right.
Score.
But yeah, so on Barbarian Invasion weekend,
yeah.
It's basically just everybody's walking around almost
like
naked.
Conan.
So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Conan and Red Sonja everywhere.
Not Conan O'Brien, but Conan the Barbarian.
No, except more of them look more like Conan O'Brien than they
dressing up as Conan.
Right. So last week, like you mentioned before, it was my birthday, and I got to see a couple movies finally.
What?
I finally saw It.
What'd you think?
Yeah. I liked it.
A lot?
A lot, actually. It was
favorite horror movie of the year?
Well, I don't... Okay, so here's the deal. We're going to get into this during our topic, because we're recording this a week before Halloween.
It's the Halloween episode
for us. I don't
watch
as many horror movies as you guys.
I don't watch a lot of horror movies.
Okay, well then, I don't watch many at all.
I
watch some.
I kind of base on the trailer, and if the trailer looks like shit, I'd avoid it altogether.
You probably watch more than me then.
Okay.
But I really liked It. It was...
I'd just give it a score. How many horns do you...
How many horns up? Out of 10 horns up, I'd probably give it a 7.5.
All right, you're not too far off where I would give it.
I mean, it's not a perfect movie, but it's a good movie. It's fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's very entertaining and pleasing.
It's, it, yeah, and there's a couple of Anthrax messages.
Only one.
Well, they played Anthrax in it.
Yeah, when they were throwing the rocks.
Yeah, and then at one point, one of the bullies in the beginning was wearing an Anthrax t-shirt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
well, that's why they played the Anthrax song.
And my wife was happy because they did a lot of New Kids on the Block stuff.
That was really funny.
Yeah. There was a, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's like a Steven Spielberg movie. It really was. It was a coming-of-age movie for these kids, but in a
Steven
horror
Spielberg?
Movie.
You're going to give it that much credit?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Well, you don't like this movie?
No, I didn't. It's not that I didn't like it. I just, I like the kids part. I just hated that they try to cram a very Hollywood candy-coated horror movie in the middle of it.
What'd you expect, though?
A thought-provoking, creepy movie that was promised since it was rated R.
No, you didn't get that.
I did not.
Okay, Dave, what's your opinion? Now we can finally talk about it.
I liked
Spoiler it.
I liked it a lot, but I thought it ended strong. I liked.
It had a great ending.
They don't need to do
a sequel.
The last act was great.
Yeah.
The middle act, I felt like, had a lot of problems.
I just hated how the girl got caught and then taken. I didn't like their reasoning to go to the sewer.
So that was one of the problems that I didn't like that. Once they're going on that mission,
Once they're there,
it's great.
Right.
Like, that part was cool. But, yeah,
The cause for them to go there is
was
stupid.
A little weak.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I found it weak was I didn't feel like we saw enough of it truly terrorizing the kids.
Only once each.
Like, the kids got one good scare each, and that's about it. And I haven't watched the original since, you know, I was like 15 years old. That's what I hear.
Oh, the TV movie too.
But
still, it doesn't hold up. It's pretty cheese. It's like soap opera.
But I've not read the book. But my recollection of watching it is I remember feeling like the kids spent a lot more time being scared.
They talk a lot about it more in the original.
Okay.
They don't really show more. Like, because all the kids get one good scare again in the original, but they talk about how they feel about it a lot.
Okay. I guess that's what I felt was missing, that I felt like they had to take her, like, she had to be the reason that they went.
Because I thought it should have been a different character.
No. I feel like it's something they wrote themselves into. They wrote themselves into a problem. And I felt like why they should have gone was because they were left with no other option.
Right.
That they're constantly so terrorized that the only thing left to do is either be terrorized or go into the lair and kill the fucker.
Well, you gotta find a reason for them to reconnect because they all like hated each other at one point.
Right.
And then a month goes by and they like realize we gotta be friends again because we made a pact.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it should have been a different kid that got kidnapped. It should have been
the girl?
No. The girl should have been the reason to force them to go. Because she's always been the heart of the group. It should have been, I hate to say it, maybe the kid who's always sick all the time, or he's like takes the hypochondriac kid. Should have been him.
The guy who looked creepily older than he was.
Yeah.
The Jewish kid.
Did you think that too?
Yeah.
I'm like, that guy, yeah, he like looks really old for his age.
He's the Jewish kid, what you're talking about, right?
No. No, the Eddie, the hypochondriac kid.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like a 30-year-old, 10-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
It's poo water.
It was a good, you know. I tried to avoid any kind of spoilers for it, so I went into it with not really high expectations, but not really knowing a lot. I know what the story of it is, but I didn't think.
So, what was your favorite part?
I thought it was gonna be more of a horror movie, truthfully. But I was pleasantly surprised that it was a different take on it. You know
so
what I mean?
One of the things I've talked to George about this because it was prior to you seeing it. But one of the scenes that really didn't work for me was it coming out of the projector screen.
And started barking like a dog.
God, that was dumb.
Yeah,
they shouldn't have done that.
They should have stopped and freeze framed on the mom's face. That would have been a lot more creepier.
That is where that should have ended. And I felt like where this movie suffered, it was in the writing problem I mentioned earlier, but also in reliance on that kind of thing. They didn't do too much of it.
The jump scares? It was filled with jump scares.
It was.
But it wasn't solely that. So, like,
there was nothing creepy or long-lasting. Okay, so let me get you didn't leave the movie theater thinking, oh, man, that would really creep me out if I saw that.
So Pennywise is a demon, right?
He's an alien.
Some kind of extra-dimensional Lovecraftian horror.
Right. Okay. It's kind of like a...
So, like,
what's
Stephen
that turtle
King,
thing
Stephen
that
King
carries
has,
the universe on its back?
So
it's the opposite of him.
Right. Yeah. So Stephen King has, like, his whole... his whole pantheon of gods, kind of like, I mean, it's totally inspired by Lovecraft. These cosmic entities,
and these are all. Isn't there some TV series coming out where they all live in this town or something? Based on Stephen King, and then all these characters.
God, I feel like I've seen something what you're referencing, but I can't remember what it is.
I can't think of what it's called now. But
I think you're right, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna eventually go back and I'm gonna watch the original miniseries just see it again. It's been a long time.
I guarantee you, you're going to stop halfway through.
I probably will fast forward through. It's long, though, because it's like...
It was 3 hours.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. I also saw Kingsman.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
The Golden Circle. I wasn't as good as the first one, but it's still a lot of fun.
I thought it was just as good as the first one.
I don't know. I think the first one surprised me a lot, so I wasn't expecting a lot of that movie.
I guess so.
This one, it was more of like, oh, we're going to get more of the same.
But it's exactly what it was.
It's a great movie, but it's just more of the same. You know,
it's 100% more of the same. Yeah. There's nothing different, nothing special that they did this time around that they didn't do in the first movie.
And I'm not saying that in a bad or negative way at all. It's just what it was.
Yeah, it was fun. This kind of story is.
I mean, I think my favorite scene were they're on that gondola system.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah,
it was a good.
A
good
I liked
movie.
It a lot. I watched Golden Circle right before we saw the first. We watched the first one, then we went to go see the second one right after that.
Okay.
And to me, it was the same amount of enjoyment from the first one.
And what's this movie and John Wick, what does it prove? What's the overlying connection between those two?
Well,
don't kill a man's dog.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. That was pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But he gets another dog.
Easily, too. He just, fuck that dog.
And the bad guy's chick? What's her name?
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. She was pretty cool in this movie.
Her compound was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I think it's the best.
And the robotic arm was really cool, too.
The best secret lair ever since Jabba's Palace. I think so.
Yeah, it was fun. It's just a good movie. Matthew Vaughn does a good job with these movies.
Yeah, he does.
They should give him a Star Wars movie. He should be directing Han Solo instead of Ron Howard.
All right, so let's talk about that.
How bad of a name is Solo?
It's like oh fuck, what are we gonna call this?
I would rather the name they're using when you know Star Wars always uses fake names when they film a movie. You know what the fake name of
Solo Cup?
It was just called Red Cup. I'm like, that's a better name.
That is a better name than Solo.
A Star Wars story.
So
come on,
we
guys.
All agree that Solo is a shitty title.
It is, definitely.
It's Solo a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
What would you call it instead? When Han met Chewie.
I was about to say that. I was going to say that, but I was taking a drink. Wow. Get Billy Crystal as a cameo in it. You're done.
When Harry met Scruffy.
See, I don't have a. I can't think of a better title, but Solo just seems so
phoned in.
It's bland and too on the nose.
Yeah.
Rogue One was a better title.
Yeah.
Even though that was still on the nose.
Well, yeah, it was, but it's better than Solo.
I also hate that they keep adding the Star Wars story.
That's their
asterisks on there
for every movie that's not part of the numbered series.
Yeah,
they're gonna have that at the end. So we're gonna get Yoda.
I'm okay with
Star Wars story.
I'm okay with the Star Wars story thing, just as like a consistency in the branding thing. Like I understand it, I get it.
But how often do you say Rogue One a Star Wars story? You don't. You just say Rogue One.
Well, and you won't.
Right.
And
yeah, same thing with this. You're not gonna say Solo. You're gonna say the Han Solo movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it
why
should
not call it just
Han Solo?
Yeah, why not just call it Han Solo?
That would be a better name.
Instead of Solo. I wonder if he's flying Solo.
Right. I mean,
it's
I have
pretty, hope it's, pretty bad. Yeah. It's just bad all around.
I did want to say a big thanks to my wife.
My wife.
One of the cool things that she got me for my birthday.
A Han Solo figurine?
A Han Solo figurine. No, she got me. You know, Dave and I are big Disney nerds.
No.
Yeah.
Dude, you weren't supposed to tell.
For real?
Oh, shit. Did I let the cat out of the bag?
Dude, people will ostracize you for that.
I don't care.
Did I say that word right? Ostracize?
No. Ostracized.
Ostracized.
I'm not going to be ostracized.
Ostracized. Worcestershire
sauce. You'd be ostrich-sized?
Ostrich-sized.
You get turned into an ostrich. Oh, okay. That's what happens.
I can deal with that.
Okay.
But a lot of our favorite Imagineers are getting old, and they're leaving us.
Dying is what you're meaning.
They're dying, yeah. Yes.
You can say that about everybody that you liked, because apparently
it's true.
That's a fucking trend for this year.
So the only Imagineers now that I ever have, I have an autograph from, I have Rolly Crump's autograph in one of his books. And now I have this really cool print of the Omnimover system, which is what they use in the Haunted Mansion. They use that.
It's a diagram.
It's
a pneumatic diagram, kind of showing you all those
dimensions and everything.
The bits and pieces of it.
But it's signed by Bob Gurr, the guy who created all this stuff. And he created the monorail and all the transportation stuff that's in all the Disney parks. So it's a really cool piece that I'm excited to add into my
Omnimover, high-capacity ride system for new Disneyland attractions.
That's right.
Hate to admit it, but it's not new. Sorry, they're lying to you.
That's an old piece of artwork there.
Well, they're still using it. It's a copy of it.
They're still using that ride system. They put that Little Mermaid attraction in. They use the same exact ride system. So, what other? It was Adventure Through Inner Space. Was that the other ride that used it?
I never did it. I never did that either, but I think you're right.
Yeah. So this is a really cool present, and I'm excited for it. I just got to get a frame for it. It's a little bit different size. It's like 8.5 by 11 or something.
It's standard letter size.
8 and 11.
I don't know. Or it's different. I don't know what it is. Because I tried a 8 by 10 frame and did not work. So I'm going to get like a document frame or something.
Or you can just get like an extra inch around a mat.
That's what she said.
Can you get an extra inch around? I'd be interested if you did that.
I don't know. All right. So, you guys been playing anything recently besides?
I've been playing Cuphead. What?
Cuphead?
Yeah, I bought that game.
How far are you?
I'm still in the first world.
Okay.
Yeah. You?
I'm still where we were last time.
Oh, so not far at all.
I've been playing a couple other things since then.
I've gotten pretty good at it.
Yeah?
I still suck. But I've gotten pretty good at it compared to last time we played together.
There's no way to be good at that game.
It's a game from hell is what it is.
But it's fun as hell.
It's fun, yeah. But it's a game from hell. Because you keep wanting to play it and you keep dying.
Yep. You know, I'm better than this game. I can do it. Yep.
No, you can't. And they entice you with these pretty graphics and great music from 1930s cartoons. And you die over and over again.
How many times do you think you've died in that game? Hundreds,
thousands, probably at this point. Wow. It got to the point where I just like, if I lose a heart during a run and gun,
yeah,
I was like, "Fuck this, I'm starting over."
Right? Yeah, exactly. Did you ever play?
Did you ever play like Super Meat Boy?
Yes, oh, yeah. It's just like that.
Like that, where you like die over and over and over. What I loved about that one too is when you finally made it to the end, it instant replayed simultaneously all of your failed attempts.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Right? Yep. It would replay all of the times you died at once. It was great.
Awesome.
I'm trying to think there was another...
You should play Cuphead. You'd like it, Dave.
Hotline Miami. Did you ever play Hotline Miami?
I did play that game.
That game was hard as shit, too.
It was a free... I don't pay for it anymore, but for a while I was doing the PlayStation Network, whatever it is. Like, you pay for the year, and you get free games every month. That was one of the free games. And
I got it off of a Humble Bundle.
Okay.
And yeah, that game was hard as shit. It was the same thing, where it's like, oh, you twitched the wrong way, you're dead. Yep. Start over. And yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I made it all the way through.
Points of the game.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's points of the game where I'm like, fuck this, I don't want to play anymore.
Look, I remember playing games in the 80s everything was like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
These young kids don't know how good they have
it. I kind of like these games that are tests of willpower and fortitude. It's like, how many times can you die before you give up? And I'm like, fuck you, game, let's do this.
How many times can you die before you get the pattern of the level?
Right. So, I mean, I'm kind of fond of these like super challenging games that take that approach, because that's what it was like playing games when I was a kid. I remember that. So
you'll love this game.
I know I will. I haven't played it yet, but everything about it is like something that I would love. The visuals, the music,
I'm playing
gameplay
against the moon lady, where you have to be an airplane.
Oh yeah.
I can't beat her.
I think I beat her once.
I get all the way to the very end and I die.
So there's a game that just came out that I haven't played yet, but
Fractured Butthole.
Well, we'll get to that in a second, but there's a company that I really like called WayForward Games. They make the Shantae games. They did this Alien.
Shantae.
Alien. They did this DS Alien game. Everything they do is great. They just put out a game called The Mummy Demastered. Yes, based on the horrible Tom Cruise Mummy movie. Okay. But it has nothing to do with it. It's a Metroidvania game to... It just came out today on all the systems, so I just found out about it today too, and I just started reading, watching some reviews. I'm like, I have to get this game. It's so Metroidvania. It's not even funny.
You're mentioning two games at once. Which one is it? Castlevania or Metroid?
No, Metroidvania. Do you know what that is?
No.
So there's a whole genre of games that are out there called Metroidvania. So it's based off Symphony of the Night, Castlevania. And what happened is some of the DS games started using that style, that system of Castlevania, the Symphony of the Night. So there were these Metroid games. So Super Metroid was like that. So any of these, you know, you go, there's a big map. You have to get new weapons to unlock other parts of the map. That's a Metroidvania style game. And I think it's my favorite gameplay.
Okay.
Love those games.
I didn't play any of those games growing up.
You should.
I'm not a fan.
Never even liked the Metroid games?
I never played a Metroid game that I actually enjoyed. Was never fond of the character, so.
You're a feminist, aren't you?
No, not even. I didn't even know it was a girl until, like, I was well an adult.
But I have been playing a couple of games recently. We just talked about. So you mentioned South Park, the Fractured Butthole.
Butthole.
Game is so fucking funny.
Yeah?
It is so good.
Yeah, I hear the fighting is different this time.
It's a little bit more turn-based strategy game. The one before, it was more based on like the Mario RPG style. But I like the... I'm not great at that, this style of gameplay, but... The game was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just like a movie.
Yeah, it's just like playing through an episode of the show.
Or a really long one.
A really long episode.
It's like 10 hours worth.
And they just had an episode last week that led right up into...
The game?
Into the game. So the one they're all superheroes, it leads right into the game.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was like, oh, wow. It was like,
so it doesn't lead up from the last game?
Well, it does.
The events from the last game don't affect.
No. Yeah, this game takes place right after the end of the last game, so they're all still playing. You know,
Stick of Truth,
and then all of a sudden, you're superheroes now.
It's like, fuck that. We're playing superheroes now.
That's basically what happens. Yeah,
superheroes are key.
You'll like it, I think.
I know. I loved the last one so.
And Shadow of War is also out.
Shadow of War. So many games are coming out.
I put Shadow of War down to play South Park, but Shadow of War is it's an awesome game. I'm probably 2 to 3 hours into it, so I'm not that far yet. But the only thing I'm going to say, I'll pass judgment a lot later when I play more, but it's more of the same. Then it's not in a bad way. It's just more of the same.
Is it nicer or more cleaner or more efficient than the last game?
It looks a little bit better, but I mean, it's so right now where I'm at, it's the same exact gameplay.
I hear that the skill tree, whatever, is more complicated than it was last time.
Yeah, so far it is.
I read that the AI was more in depth on this one that. Like, as far as, like, the grudges and stuff that they'll hold against you, like, it's more fleshed out.
I've had a couple of grudges.
Hello, Ranger.
Yep. Apparently, one of the voices is Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah, I saw that on Conan.
Yeah. I haven't got to him yet. That'd be funny.
Can't believe they didn't change his voice.
Didn't change his
at
voice
all.
At all. It's just, it's
I don't know if that was
awkward.
Just a prank on the episode or.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I definitely will complete this game to the best of my ability. Try to 100% this game. I got the.
I didn't 100% the last game.
I got
game,
the gold so version, it. So it has like all the DLC whenever that comes out too. So.
How much was that?
Too much.
$90?
No, it wasn't that much. It was Gamer Club, Best Buy, it was.
70, 80?
Something like that.
More than $60.
More than the 47 of a regular game there. Yeah. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
So, yep. Are you going to play that game at all? Or
I'll probably put it on my Christmas wish list. Okay. So I'm not going to play it right away. I'm not going to have time anyway.
I probably won't play it until after the new year, knowing me.
I'm sure it's one of those games you'll be able to find on Black Friday for a much better price, because it'll be out for at least a month or so at that time.
Sure.
You know?
That's why I didn't buy Baby Driver or Planet of the Apes today.
Oh, I didn't realize Planet of the Apes came out.
Yeah, it just came out today.
That'll be a good Black Friday one. I did get Baby Driver because I had a coupon, so I got it for like $13 at Target.
Cool.
So.
Coupon.
Coupons, man.
Speaking of movies, I saw a movie during our 2-week break.
I saw
Blade Runner 2049.
Okay. I was wondering if we were going to talk about Blade Runner.
I forgot
Runner.
About that.
We've all seen it, so we should definitely
I forgot about talk. That, too.
We should definitely talk about it. So, upon first viewing, I liked it, but I didn't love it. But the thing about the movie is it was itching in my brain. Like, I kept thinking about it. And more I thought about it, the more and more I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So it went from like a 7 or a 7.5 in the movie theater. And by the time like a week later, the movie's like an 8.5, almost a 9. There's only one major problem with it. Oh, two major problems with this movie. It's Harrison too damn Ford? Long.
I disagree.
It's too damn long. And also the beats of the movie are too slow.
Mm.
I disagree.
Why did you? Well, okay. What makes you think it's not too long?
I think. I agree that it is a long movie.
It's a whole hour longer than the original.
So? I don't think that it was unnecessary. I think that if they had shortened it, it would have become more of an action movie and less of the science fiction movie that it should be.
I disagree.
Well, you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. That's
so,
the problem.
I agree. I also agree that the long running time is going to intimidate people away from seeing the movie.
Oh, this is not a movie for everyone.
It's not. It's
and that's
not
why it's failing at the box office.
It's not. Well, there's a lot of reasons I think why it's failing at the box office. But if you're a science fiction fan, like an actual science fiction fan, this is one of the best science fiction movies.
I totally agree.
A long, long time.
It is a beautiful fucking movie.
It was from the very opening shot.
It's an eye feast.
I was mouth agape from the very. I was from the opening shot. I was like, "Holy crap, this looks amazing!" And that continued through the entire movie.
What did you see it on?
IMAX.
Okay, yeah, we did. We saw it on like
Regal Premium.
Is it IMAX?
It's like IMAX Lite.
Okay.
And it was. We weren't planning to see it at IMAX.
Yeah.
It was just the time that matched when we were there.
So we went and saw
Well,
they shot
IMAX.
A good portion of the movie on IMAX, so.
My understanding was that the whole thing was not shot on IMAX.
No, not the whole thing, just a good portion. Like all the desert scenes where he's walking around, the stuff with the tree.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff was IMAX shot.
The far away establishing
stuff.
Yeah, the big
landscaping look stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful movie. Just visually, it's a delight to watch. Especially if you're into design. And
I need to see it again. I think.
So I do recommend watching some version of the original before you go into it, because this is it
puts you in the mood.
This is its own movie and it's its own story. But this is not it's not in the spirit of a lot of the reboots or Johnny Come Lately sequels that we're seeing, where it's so much just trying to bank on the fan service. This does have that, but it feels legit. It's the fan service stuff is there, but it doesn't feel like it's there just to make you go, oh yeah, I remember that. Like, I feel like it's there.
I did a little bit of that at the end.
So no member berries?
But it felt more like we're just trying to be very careful to set this in the same world.
One of the collectibles in South Park are member berries. You find them all around.
But yeah, I felt like any kind of callback sort of stuff was only done as we're setting this in, this is the same world.
This is the universe that we're in.
Right.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. I was surprised, but I liked that. And little spoiler alert.
Anyone, this movie's going to not be in theaters anymore.
I was surprised at how long it took us to get to Harrison Ford.
Yeah, me too.
Well, that's another thing that kind of bothered me about this movie. They should have kept that as a secret. Like, that should have been kept as a secret. It's not going to hurt the box office because it's failing anyway. They should have kept it a secret, and it would have been a nice reveal for anyone who was a Blade Runner fan.
I'd have shit myself if I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I went,
I'd be like, oh fuck, they're putting Harrison Ford in this movie? Yeah. That's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
I can see your point, but I mean, I think before they were already struggling with, you know,
marketing the movie.
And they really to get anybody to go see it, they really needed to have that Harrison Ford lock.
But it didn't help anyway.
Yes and no, maybe. I know it's doing really poorly, but imagine those other people that didn't see the movie because they didn't know Harrison Ford was in it.
Well, I mean, what they expect. On top of that, the Blade Runner originally, when it came out in when did it came out? 1982.
82, yeah.
It didn't do well in theaters then either.
Right.
Like, it became a classic cult hit after the many cuts that came out later, like the director's cut and the theatrical cut and stuff like that. And that's what caused it to kind of gain fandom, because then you had like, oh, which version of yours is your favorite? My opinion, though, 2049 is a far superior movie compared to the original.
It is a better movie.
It's a better story, better characters. I cared about Ryan Gosling getting to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I cared about him from the beginning to the end.
Yeah.
And even though you're not supposed to, because he has no feelings.
No, he has feelings.
He's an android.
He's not an android.
Fish don't have any feelings.
They're not androids. They're genetically
a replicant.
But that's important, though. I'm making that distinction because it's an important one. The only thing that's keeping them from being human is that memories. They're born in a lab
and memories that not really theirs.
They're created fully formed in a lab. Genetically, they're human. Every part of them, they're not androids. These aren't robots that look like people. They are living things.
I never thought about that.
Yes, that's important.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yeah, it is.
Especially because the story is dealing with.
Well, that's why Jared Leto wanted
humanity.
The secret to them producing babies.
Right. Because
that was the whole point. And that was another crutch on the problem. Like, I got the movie because I understood where we're going from, and I've seen the original. A regular moviegoer who's going to see this movie are not going to get it. And they didn't bring... the plot lines weren't clear enough, I think was a problem. And they could have solved some of that by making Dave Bautista's character a little bit more fleshed out and showing you a lot more and who he was and what he meant by his line later at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It didn't mean anything in the beginning, but that's a good detective story, right? And that's what this was supposed to be. This was supposed to be a detective story and also finding who
you
are.
Are you saying it was a mistake that we didn't know more about what he meant until...
No, it's just...
That was a good thing.
No. It's just that there wasn't clear enough who he was and why he was important.
But we find out through
the only
course
reason,
of the movie, though.
Right, yeah, you
barely,
find out...
Barely.
Well,
just little tidbits.
Enough. I mean...
And Dave Bautista is a decent actor where they should have used him more.
But he wasn't the main part of the movie, though. He was just a means to an end.
Sort of.
To get... You know what I mean? He was only there so... was it Ryan Gosling?
He's there to introduce the conflict.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have liked to seen a lot more about his character in the beginning and have him come back up toward the end.
Well, when they make the 3-hour movie of his life?
Well, they did. They made a short film They made three short films so you can watch.
Where are those at? I haven't seen those.
They're on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Two are made by Ridley Scott's son because he can't get a job without his dad. And one was made by the director who made Cowboy Bebop.
Hmm. Okay. I'm going to have to watch these now.
Yeah, they're pretty good. And like Jared Leto's character, his purpose was, I don't feel like was clear enough unless if you weren't paying attention.
They didn't. Yeah, I mean, for being the main,
And also, like I said, my biggest beef is that I knew where the movie was going before the movie told me where it was going.
Well, for Jared Leto being the main bad guy...
There was no main bad guys. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, he was... I guess so. He was the antagonist of the movie, but...
Sort of. Not really.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, he had a purpose, and... He was going to do whatever it took to get to his purpose.
Did he antagonize the protagonists? Yes.
Sort of.
That makes him the antagonist.
Sort of. He sort of did. Because he didn't do it.
He was a dick to Harrison Ford. Come on now.
He didn't do it. He got his robot who didn't want to obey him to do it.
Well,
and that's why she kept on crying all the time.
Yeah, but he forced her to do it.
Well, because she's under his control, under his programming.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's... So, like,
the Emperor got Darth Vader to do stuff.
The moment where Ryan Gosling's character, I think his name is Kay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever the moment where he saw the tree and saw the date, events or clues for the movie should have happened a little bit more at a faster pace. And that's my only beef about the movie. I love the movie. I thought it was great. But we don't need to sit on a lingering shot for 5 minutes to see what we know it's going to happen. And also, they took fucking forever for him walking around in that mansion. I was like, all right, get to Harrison Ford. I know this is the moment where you're going to get to Harrison Ford. Get to Harrison Ford. And he's just like, they showed too much of that fucking house. It should have been like, he walked through the doors, walked through one, straight into...
It wasn't a mansion. It wasn't like a...
No, it was like a Vegas casino. Yeah. As soon as he walked in, he should have been like, walk through there, walk through the Elvis playing, walk to another room, and then bam, Harrison Ford. What we got was like 10 rooms, Harrison Ford, the Vegas room.
And we had 75-year-old
and then we had
Ford fighting.
Yeah, fight. Which was pretty good.
That was cool, though.
Yeah, because Harrison Ford was like, all right, do you want to just get a fucking drink? I'm tired. I'm old and tired.
That's right.
And that scene where Ryan Gosling like bursted through the door to catch Harrison Ford was pretty great.
Yeah.
Or bursted through the wall.
Yeah.
And they killed another dog in this fucking movie. These movies hate dogs.
Apparently. All movies hate dogs.
Yeah. Anyway,
okay. All dogs go to heaven.
It's a great movie. Like I said, I left the theater thinking it was just okay. Thought it was just as good as the first one.
You know, when I left,
more and more I thought about it, I end up liking it more.
It took me a couple days to realize that I actually did like it more than I thought I did. Because walking out of it, I'm like, I don't know if I liked it or not. It takes a while for it to actually sink in.
Like, I think Ryan Gosling's character arc is the best in the whole movie. Everyone else is just kind of...
You're a Gosling fan now, aren't you?
But he does faceless, one face looks great, which he does in this movie. And I liked his interaction with the girl, the pocket animation girl.
Joy.
Joy.
Oh, yeah, Joy.
And the only thing that could have been cut completely was the police officer, the human police officer.
I don't even remember that character.
Yeah, anymore. Like, she played no significance to the plot whatsoever. She's the chief.
Oh, yeah.
She gets, like, her throat slit by the other robot.
She was of no consequence to the story?
I don't think she added to the story at all. She didn't move things along.
Sure she did.
No, she didn't.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I am thinking about it.
Okay, what does she add?
She is giving...
Other than being his boss and giving him the case...
Right. Isn't that a little bit important?
That's all they needed her for, though. They don't ever needed to show her that.
No, but her character is also used to illustrate the level of control that they have over the replicants.
Sure, but they didn't need to go to the depth that they had with her. I think they showed more of her than they needed to. Like, they showed her hanging out with Ryan Gosling in his apartment. That wasn't important.
Sure it was.
Not really.
Because...
It was just showing that she was lonely, she wanted to fuck him, and he realized he doesn't want her.
But that scene is also important because it's showing... it's another example of how disposable these replicants are seen. That's
skin jobs, yeah.
That's important.
Right, I get that. But that was made important earlier on. It was shown earlier. It was shown through the environment. And also they made the fact that
but
there wasn't very many humans left on the Earth, period. The only humans who were left were theirs to work or to fuck.
Or the ones who were ill in some
way. Or who couldn't afford to leave.
Who couldn't afford to leave, who are, underclass or unfit in some way.
Right.
Which, again, is also important in this whole story about how are the replicants any different from any of these other people.
Right.
But no, I thought the scene in the apartment was useful because there was a whole... that was establishing, or reinforcing, rather... this weird sexual trinity that's going on where it's a disposable sexuality, and she's showing where humans view the replicants as this kind of disposable sex object, while the replicant is viewing the artificial intelligence as a disposable sexual experience.
I got that right? Earlier on.
Okay, but three-way you don't think machine. That it's important sometimes for a story to show you a theme in several different kinds of ways, like
sure,
music does? Music shows you a theme in different ways.
I feel like it just stopped the movie. That's all. I felt. Like,
I don't. I felt like they were bringing it to a hole with her. I have patience and enjoy these things, and I don't have a problem with them taking the time to really create this atmosphere. I think it served the purpose of the movie.
Okay.
I think it's important. I
agree to disagree.
Okay, George is wrong.
Which is not true.
I'm Switzerland right now. So let's actually move on from this
go see
discussion.
Blade Runner if you get a chance, everybody. It's a great movie.
We can all agree at least go see Blade Runner, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right, done. Well, let's move on to our topic. Welcome, my pretties, to our Halloween-filled discussion on this episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast.
Is that the best impression of the Crypt Keeper?
I don't have an impression of the Crypt Keeper.
Well, you've said the line.
So? I wasn't trying to do an impression.
Greetings, my bear children.
Okay, there you go. Let's do it.
I can't do that for long. I can just do like little spurts here and there.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Dirty motherfucker.
All right, so... Halloween is next week, and we wanted to take this time. Yeah, We wanted to take this time and just discuss some of our traditions that we go through, what our favorite horror movies are, what some of our favorite candy, what we like to do during the Halloween season.
The Halloween season, or like all the month of October, or just on
the
Halloween day?
Feeling the Halloween spirit.
Okay. Literally. All right. Would you like to go first?
No, I would like you to go first.
Like me to go first.
Come on, Crypt Keeper.
God, I haven't watched... God damn it. Tales from the Crypt in a long time. What do I do for Halloween? I used to do like candy and stuff and for trick-or-treaters, but I don't get a lot of trick-or-treaters in my neighborhood, which is kind of sad. Because it's cool. Like, I like seeing all the different costumes, and it's fun seeing the kids have a good time. And I always watch... Nightmare Before Christmas is always on loop during Halloween.
Okay. So, that's an important question. Is to you, is Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie?
It's a
horror. Or is it a Christmas movie?
It's a bridge movie from Halloween to Thanksgiving to Christmas.
So you can watch it for 3 months straight and you'd be okay.
I don't watch it all 3 months straight. I watch it like the end of October, the end of November, and the beginning of December.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. So it's a mixture. It's a mixture holiday movie.
I always try to watch something
scary.
A horror movie or a scary movie that I've never seen before.
Have you watched any horror movies this summer besides?
No, not really.
Besides It?
I haven't really been watching any movies at home recently, truthfully.
Yeah? I watched Gerald's Game on Netflix.
I've heard about a really fucked up scene in that movie.
There's quite a few fucked up scenes in that movie.
So I know there's some movies. I listen to a lot of Halloween Horror Night podcasts and stuff like that because they're talking about that stuff right now.
Yeah,
a lot of the Universal podcasts that I listen to, and it's like they're talking about movies I've never seen. I've never seen a lot of the
like what
like the Blumhouse movies and
Blumhouse?
Like, yeah, Blumhouse, whatever it is. You know, like Insidious and...
I didn't care to watch
all those
that.
Type of movies.
Those that. Movies don't really excite me to watch.
Not me either.
So I don't care for modern-day horror movies all that much.
I generally don't either. I'll watch them sometimes. I'm more likely to watch the... like the real garbage ones, not the ones
the B movies,
right?
You know,
yeah,
you know which one I'm actually looking forward to watch before Halloween? It's the new Chucky movie on Netflix,
Cult of Chucky.
The Cult of Chucky.
Why?
It's going to be bad, but I want to watch it.
It looks so stupid. Is John Peters directing this one?
I don't know.
God,
I have
so
no idea.
Bad. All those movies. Well, the earlier
Chucky
ones were
movies.
Pretty good.
I even enjoy the one where it was him and his wife with Tiffany.
Really?
Yeah.
The Bride of Chucky?
Yeah.
It's fucking
the
stupid.
One after that have a kids and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, The Seed of Chucky.
It's so funny.
It's gross. I also watch Halloween, John Carpenter's Halloween.
That's
on
a good
Halloween.
One.
It's always kind of a tradition to watch that on Halloween. I usually try to watch one of the Friday the 13ths because as a kid, that was just something I did every October. I'd usually marathon the whole thing that was out when I was a kid.
Okay.
But I don't do that as much, but I try to watch one or two of them. Not the movies one and two.
Right.
I'd probably be like two, three, and four, or out of order sometimes. Because one's good, or one's okay. It's just not that scary or gory.
No, it's
two
not.
Is the gory one where it's fun to watch, and
yeah.
Three is the bad 3D version.
It's so bad it comes back and becomes good again.
Yeah, it's pretty much exquisite, as what's his face would say, Garmy would say.
Yep. So what about you, Dave? What are your traditions?
I'm obviously Nightmare Before Christmas is played frequently, but other than that, we don't have like regular Halloween movies. But Val and I also basically start celebrating Halloween in July. So
Halloween every day of the year.
It is a multi.
You've heard the Ministry song. They have a song called "Every Day Is Halloween."
That's how we live our life.
Except for Christmas.
That's basically it. We're basically all Halloween until Christmas, and then we're Christmas, and then we're back on Halloween.
That's
again.
Right.
So
even Christmas is sort of Halloween.
So do y'all a lot of trick or treating with the kids and all that?
Yeah.
Y'all go around your neighborhood, or you go to other neighborhoods?
We actually go to my wife's grandmother's neighborhood.
They got the full bars.
It's a nice neighborhood for trick-or-treating. They tend to do it up. Several of the houses will do like little like walk-through spook house things that they build in the front yard, and a lot of the yards are done up, you know, really elaborately, and her neighborhood really kind of goes all in for it. So it's a good place to go, but it's also like that's her holiday, like her grandmother's holiday, where she hosts everybody and she makes dinner, and her house becomes like headquarters for the evening's activities, where we'll go there and we'll eat, and then we'll kind of go out and we're like, okay, we're going to go this way, do this block, and then come back and recoup and then head out and go again.
Eat a bunch of candies and go out for more.
So that's you. But then we also will do other trick-or-treating kind of events leading up to Halloween. So like in years past, we've taken the kids to like the Houston Children's Museum because they have a Halloween party and they do trick-or-treating up there, or take them out to the Renaissance Festival for trick-or-treating, we're going to be working, but we're still going to take the kids around this weekend and have them trick-or-treat there as
so
well.
I'm thinking about coming out there this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to come out Saturday, what we discussed earlier, or if I'm going to come out there Sunday. But if I'm out there either day, then if you need me to help you bring the kids around, I'll be happy to.
Cool.
If you can't leave the booth or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
You going to man the booth?
No, but I'll take his kid to get some candy.
There you go.
I mean, nothing's
Uncle Carrie taking kids.
Nothing's going to compare to Mickey's Not So Scary last year, which was a blast.
I didn't get
that
to do
fun.
That last year.
Oh my God,
it is
so
fun.
Much fun.
It has the best fireworks show I've ever seen anywhere.
And the best parade,
awesome.
Too.
I unfortunately didn't get to see much of the parade because it started raining just before the parade started.
So what is the parade like?
It's all like villains and...
Oh, cool.
The big Haunted Mansion float and stuff. Yeah,
nice.
It's
really
cool.
I saw
the Headless
Disney
Horseman
commercial
rides
recently where they had Haunted Mansion characters on there.
There's these commercials for...
So it's like Haunted Mansion's kind of getting like a weird resurgence on past the weirdos like you guys.
Yeah. They're just
away from the fans.
Really, it's
the fanboys?
Just that I think it's more that Disney has just chosen to recognize the cult following that's always been there. They're just embracing it now.
Exactly.
I don't think that it. I don't think that it's becoming more popular. I think that it's just that Disney themselves are embracing the fan
the money.
So the fanboys have finally gotten place where they can make decisions. Is what
Disney
you're trying to say.
Is embracing how much money they can make from
correct.
It. That's not
why
much merchandise they could sell.
That's why
we
the
can
Haunted
get money
Mansion
from them
finally
fanboys.
Has its own gift shop.
Yes. No. Definitely. And I've
I went into that gift shop. It was okay.
I've talked to Dave about this. I am on the verge of getting a Haunted Mansion tattoo, like really soon.
On your back, just a giant Haunted Mansion.
No, not on my back.
All the ghosts on your back. Just fucking cover it.
Yeah, maybe. No,
whole back.
Not gonna do that.
On your face.
On my face.
You're gonna get what is it? Hatbox ghost, whatever.
Yep, on my face.
On your face, like fucking Tyson Hatbox tattoo.
That's right. You guessed it. That's what I'm going to do.
I knew it.
Carrie never needs to work again.
No, never. yeah. So, like, for us, I mean, I didn't really do a lot of trick-or-treating growing up, that type of stuff. You know, sometimes we'll go to family's house, we'll go trick-or-treating with their kids, that type of stuff, but usually we'll just go out for a while because nobody's out in the stores or go do groceries or go eat dinner or something, and... I don't know.
Wow. You make it sound so exciting, Carrie.
You know, one thing I am going to do this weekend, though?
Watch a movie?
I'm going to binge watch some Stranger Things.
That was going to be the thing I was going to talk about this at the end of the episode.
You can still talk about that.
Am I, though? I don't know. Can I? It's cats
it's
out
over
of the bag.
Now. It's over.
It's over.
Nobody listened to you anyway, so nobody knows.
They don't. You're right. Just like they don't listen to this podcast.
So, you know, one of the other things that... one of the other movies that I've never seen is The Shining.
The Shining?
You've never seen The Shining? No. And that's,
really?
I want to
change
that
for Halloween. Now you should come over to my place for
you
Halloween.
Haven't?
Well, it's in garbage bags right now. All my movies are in garbage
it's
bags.
On, it's, I watched on Netflix or Hulu or something recently. So
is it on Netflix?
I think so.
Okay.
Shining.
Unless they've pulled it recently. But I watched it not too long ago on there.
So. I've never seen... I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never seen it.
From beginning to end?
From beginning to end, because... One of the houses at Universal is The Shining, and they keep on talking about it. And I've seen people go through it. I'm like, oh, I've seen that part, but I don't remember the whole movie.
Yeah.
So it's definitely one on my radar.
I'm probably going to watch Evil Dead at some point, or Evil Dead 2 at some point.
I can be down with that.
And then maybe Ghostbusters. I haven't watched Ghostbusters.
Is Ghostbusters really a Halloween movie?
Most definitely is a Halloween movie. And Ghostbusters 2 is a Christmas movie.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Okay.
So is every Lethal Weapon movie, except for the last two.
All right.
There's one... I will call... It's a Halloween movie more than it is a horror movie, but it is a horror movie that I wish would come back on Netflix, which is the more recent Trick or Treat, not the 80s one.
That's one on my list that I have not seen yet
either.
It's
really good.
The Trick or Treat. And it has the girl from True Blood in it, right?
I don't know. I've never watched True Blood.
And a pack one, yeah.
But
and a gate teeth pack one.
It's a lot of fun though. Like it's a fun Halloween movie.
I've never seen that either.
It's like a it's kind of an anthology movie where it's a bunch of little stories,
sure,
and they're all tied together.
There's a scare zone at Universal Studios of Trick or Treat.
Okay.
And I'm like, the character, was it Sam? Yeah, with the burlap sack on his face.
Burlap head. Yeah. It's a fun. I've only watched it once, and we watched it around Halloween years ago, and it's a really fun Halloween spirit. It's just got this Halloween spirit to it.
Watch Deathgasm again.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Do you guys have a candy that maybe comes out around Halloween, or that you really only find at Halloween? That
candy corn.
Candy corn's disgusting.
There's some
flavors or
candy
some
corn.
Candy that's maybe like one of that people like hate but you secretly love, or
candy corn.
Yeah, it's terrible. You love candy corn?
Not really. No,
it's okay.
It's the only thing I can think of that comes out during Halloween.
You know what I love is those. There's like one of the bags you can get like at the store.
Is it licorice?
Well, yeah, I like licorice.
It's gross.
It's dots.
That's nasty. Oh, you like dots?
I love dots.
My wife
that
loves dots.
Gets stuck
love
in my teeth.
I know. It's so great. It's the snack that keeps on going.
That's a Halloween thing for
it's
you?
The candy that keeps on going.
My wife likes dots. She always raids the kids' candy buckets. Yeah. For any of the dots, go to mom.
Love them.
So,
like, last two years of my previous job, we would always get Halloween candy and put it out. And they would always get the pack that always had the dots and they had, like, the Tootsie Rolls and stuff in it.
The cheap bag.
Yeah. But I always go down there and just grab boxes of dots and eat on those.
All right.
So, I like bottle caps.
Like gummy,
they're not gummy. They're like a sweet tart in texture.
Yeah, yeah.
The texture of them is
soda tastes.
Right. Okay. I love those.
They have one like tastes like root beer sort of.
Oh, mm-hmm. I know what you're talking about.
They have like root beer ones and cola and like cherry soda and orange soda and
are they soured or
no?
Okay. Mm-mm. I'm not a big soured fan, but
you like flavor. Licorice.
I love licorice. I have a bag of Australian licorice in there right now that
you're
I bought.
So weird.
You know, the best thing in the world I've ever had, found it one time. It was at Walgreens. It was dark chocolate covered licorice.
It was amazing. And it was never sold again. You know why? Because no one likes it.
No, I loved it. I would have.
Should have bought the whole crate. He's like, bring that shit to my house.
Do you like Jägermeister?
I do a little bit.
Yeah.
And I haven't really had it that much.
Because Jägermeister tastes just like licorice to me.
Yeah.
They taste the same, and I don't like either of them. Oh,
no. Maybe I should like Jägermeister more than.
You should. Same thing with Ouzo. Ouzo has a licorice taste to it.
What is that?
It's a Greek liquor.
Okay. I would probably enjoy that then. One of my favorite candies in the entire world is black licorice flavored Jelly Bellies.
Ugh.
Ugh, so good. So
nope.
Good.
A whole lot of nope on that side of the room.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Snickers and Twix and Reese's.
I like Reese's a lot.
I like, so how do you eat your Reese's?
Fucking just shove it in my mouth fast as possible.
I freeze them. I put them in the freezer for a good while.
I've done
great.
That before too, but
that's my preferred way to
have
eat
Have you
them.
Tried any of the new
my
flavors?
My fatness
saw,
takes over and I just eat
them
it.
At Walgreens recently. They had like, one had like Reese's Pieces in it, and the other
yeah,
one
I had
like
those.
Cookie bits in it.
I had the those. Reese's Pieces
How
one.
How was it?
It's good.
This
it's,
is like a crunchy actually,
yeah,
Reese's.
Yeah, crunchy Reese's peanut butter cup with Reese's Pieces in it.
Okay.
Or mini Reese's Pieces. Catherine loves it.
All right.
I got it because it came out for that. Christmas last year, and I got it for as a stocking stuffer. I told her she was crazy.
That's always what we do for our stocking stuffers is always just put candy in
candy
it.
Candy or socks.
Because one of my favorite things in the world is peppermint candy, too. And only around the holiday times.
Man, you just like old man candy. That's all you
apparently.
Like. Apparently. Yeah, just like, ugh.
Peppermint and chocolate is so good.
I like mint stuff.
I like mint, too.
Peppermint and spearmint and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know.
I love peppermint flavored stuff. And
your
pumpkin
Klondike
spice.
Bar is good.
I like Yorks a lot.
Yeah, York patties.
Yorks are really
good.
It's
one of my favorite things. Yeah. I like York peppermint
patties. I haven't had a York peppermint patty in a long time.
Those are good frozen, too.
Yes, they are. That's what we do. Because when the chocolate gets... You know, okay, this is going to sound weird, but you know, we don't eat a lot of sugar. So if you buy the sugar-free York, stick them in the freezer or in the fridge, get them cold, that chocolate hardens up really nicely. Better than just a regular York. And they're so awesome. So good.
Was telling it, you. How good was it on a scale of 1 to 10?
About a 12. Telling you.
Someone who's depriving themselves of sugar, like, oh my God, it's amazing.
No, it's sugar-free, though. It's a sugar-free York.
Yeah,
it
no.
Just the way the chocolate, like, hardens up.
And then you have the crazy poops later because it's sugar-free chemicals
care.
In there.
No. We buy the sugar-free dark chocolate as well.
My yard right chocolate. Now is like the perfect texture for like putting skeletons and stuff because it's like patches of dead grass and like stuff like that. But we haven't made time to go out and get props for the yard.
Yeah,
we haven't done any outside. Oh, I have like one little light up jack-o'-lantern stack. They're like, you know, on top of each other like a totem pole that lights up. That's the only thing we have outside. I usually do the inside of the house up more than I've had time to this year with the festival, but I make yarn spider webs and put them all over the house. And you saw the bats.
Yeah.
That I put up. I have hundreds of paper bats that I string over the ceiling that they all look like they're flying through the house and stuff.
Cool.
And more like, and oh, and Halloween's also the time of year when it's like, oh, it's time to decorate for Halloween. And me and Val just go, okay, we'll pull all the decorations out of the bedroom and put them around the rest of the house.
Now we can live like regular people.
Now we can display it for everybody to see.
Yep.
Wow. So do you guys like dark chocolate?
Love dark chocolate.
Time. Okay, yeah, good.
I prefer dark chocolate.
Me too.
To milk chocolate.
Me too. Definitely.
The y'all are crazy. That's
the higher percentage of cacao, whatever.
Do you like the 90% ones?
They can get a little bitter, but they're good.
I like dark chocolate with pomegranate.
That's good too. We got one of the like the multi flavor bags of like the Ghirardelli chocolate.
Yes,
the dark chocolate one.
Yeah,
they've got they have like the sweeter dark chocolate all the way up through like the 90% ones. And so we were going through in stages.
Chocolate sampling.
Yeah. And we were starting with the sweeter stuff and working down. We got to the 90% and then went back to like 70%.
You don't realize.
And it was like, God, that's sweet.
Oh, my teeth hurt.
Where do you get that at? Where do you buy that at?
I don't know. Wherever.
Any store. Any store that sells like
Ghirardelli, we were at Food and Wine last year, inside the pavilion that used to be Wonders of Life. There's a Ghirardelli area inside there. And they
permanently
had,
or just for the
just food for the and during Food and Wine.
Oh, okay.
And they had dark chocolate drinking chocolate.
Nice.
So at the Ghirardelli factory in San Francisco, you can do that.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've been to some Ghirardelli stores, but they don't have this particular thing. And it's basically a cup of hot chocolate. But it's like drinking it's real melted chocolate in there.
I had that. I had that at the Ghirardelli factory in San Francisco.
Okay,
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
I didn't realize Ghirardelli came from San Francisco.
Yeah.
So, and like they show you how they make the chocolate in there and all that stuff. It's pretty cool.
I've been to a Jelly Belly factory before. There's one. It's between the border of Illinois and Wisconsin when you're going from Chicago to Milwaukee. There's a really cool, you can go on the tour, you can take the tram ride through, and you can buy like the $5 bag, this is back in the day, $5 bag of what they call belly flops, which are all just mismatched.
Makes your belly flop.
Yeah, well, if you eat a whole bag of it, it would. It's just mismatched, ones that aren't, shaped correctly, all that kind of stuff. They just put them all in these bags. And
it's the odd ones.
The odd stuff out.
Yeah.
And the 99-cent only store every once in a while will have dollar bags of these too, which I'll buy those. And then usually there's a lot of black licorice in there, so
there you go.
Makes me happy.
Yeah, because no one likes the black licorice stuff.
That's right. I'll take it all. Then yeah. I'll take it all.
You gross motherfucker.
So I'm thinking that we're gonna have their kids with us out at TRF this weekend.
Yeah.
Since we work there, we have to camp out, and we stay in our shop out there. I'm thinking that at least my older daughter, I think it's about time for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ooh.
Ooh. The book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were foundational texts in my childhood.
Do you have those?
Yeah. I have
I only have one of them. It's the one with the clown that looked like a watercolor.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I remember.
Clown that looked like a watercolor.
Yeah, that's the cover that I remember.
Like with where it's the tree. The tree looks like a clown.
Yeah,
head.
I think so. Yeah.
It's got
a
pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
the shiver thinking about it.
I'm trying to remember which one that was. It may have been the first one. I don't remember. The one that I have is it's a single volume. It's all three of them in a single hardbound volume. That's got the good art in it. So if you're a fan of the Scary Stories books, you probably know that some like 5 years ago or so they replaced the artwork.
No.
In it, did you know that?
No.
It's a crime against nature and all that's holy.
Because it's bad, or?
It's completely tame.
Oh.
It's like the most safe and
someone
tame
was like, hey,
artwork.
This is made for children, ain't it?
Yeah, that's basically, I'm sure that's what happened, that somebody was like, hey, this artwork in here is really fucking terrifying. maybe we should tone it down a bit. And they shouldn't. That's the wrong move.
Right.
That's what made those books special when I was a kid.
And that's what made me read the
artwork,
cover. Or made me read the book because of the cover.
The artwork was terrifying in it. Like, I mean, I am an artist, so I'm obviously drawn to these things, always have been drawn to them.
But the hits keep on coming.
Yeah, yeah, sorry.
Even, that was bad even for me.
I didn't mean to. It wasn't intentional. But I would sit and look at those drawings for hours, just like really get sucked into
them. Explains a lot.
Doesn't it? I know, right? And Stephen Gamble is the name of the artist that did those in the original, and they're just fantastic. They are creepy as hell.
So do they not sell a version with the original art?
So the good news is the new edition that's coming out is going to have the original Stephen Gamble artwork in it, and all is made right in the Scary Stories universe.
So has Stephen Gamble done anything else?
He has, but I don't know. I know that he has because I've looked him up. He's done some other illustration work. And a lot of his other stuff isn't quite as creepy as that stuff. It's still good, but it's not that same creepy stuff.
Gotcha.
That was such an important part of those books. I can't believe that they ever thought to change the artwork. The artwork told the stories more than the stories did, I felt. I still have conversations with people about those books and go, oh, do you remember the story where this happens? And go, oh, I don't know, it really doesn't really ring a bell. It's like the illustration for it was this. And they go, yeah. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I remember that. The illustrations told the story. Right. Yeah. George is looking at them now. They're, I mean, when I was 9, 10 years old,
this is the one I remember.
Right. Yeah.
That's the one that made me want to read the book.
The charcoal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, well...
some creepy-ass shit.
I guess we have a lot of horror movies to look forward to and a lot of candy, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Candy. Well, I mean, that's what Halloween's all about, right? And the Great Pumpkin.
Oh, yeah. One of my traditions on Halloween is listening to the song Halloween by Helloween over and over. Yeah. So it's a tradition, actually.
Bringing it back to metal. We love it, Carrie.
It's true, though.
On to the next segment.
No.
Okay.
Okay, no.
All right, good.
Actually, the next segment is George Hates Metal, so it's perfect. Welcome back to the show. We are at George's favorite segment of every episode.
Ooh.
It's George Hates Metal.
Yeah.
And what we have brought to the table this episode is the brand new release from Exhumed.
The Muppets death metal band.
Okay. The album is actually called Death Revenge. It just came out a couple weeks ago. I want to get my opinion on it, but I want to hear your opinion first.
Sure. Mine will be short and sweet. The music is great. Like, the guitars are on point. The drums are great. And then Swedish Chef comes in and starts going, pork, 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 but in a death metal voice.
Okay. I mean, of course, you're entitled to your opinion. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just not... I don't think you're just... You're not really
I'm
used
not
to
the
this
audience
style.
For this kind of music.
Okay.
That's what it is. It's not for me.
That's fine. You don't have to like everything. We're not forcing you to like
you
it.
You sure about that? Because y'all always give me like the fucking looking down your nose kind of deal every
but you
time
should
I say
like
I don't
this.
Like I don't like this.
You don't have to like everything, but you should like this.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the music's great. Like, I think, like you said, it is a very well-produced album. The music's it's, you know, top notch, tight fit. It's good guitars and good blast drums and shit. It's just
so I will preface.
Will not listen to that vocals.
I will preface this and say that just, you know, let everybody know out there, Matt Harvey, lead singer, lead songwriter of this band, is a friend of the show. He's been on this show. He's been on MSRcast. He's written articles for Metal Geeks back in the day, so he's still a good friend of the show. Still talk to him.
I'm not trying to shit on him.
No, I'm not saying you are. No, dude. But I just want to preface my review of this album with that. But this album is freaking stellar. It's they've been going this direction for the past two or three albums, ever since they basically reunited and got back together. But like you said, the guitars are amazing.
Bit biased though, aren't you?
No.
So I mean, I'll say that my opinion of this is in no way, like, you know, blowing smoke.
No, yeah, I'm not either.
Impressive fucking album. This is proper old school death metal. It's really well produced. The riffs are fucking awesome. George's main complaint is the vocals. The vocal style varies quite a bit in several different death metal style vocals, and one of the ones that he hits on is, you know, the pig vocals, the really guttural, gurgly kind of vocals, which I'm very picky about.
Right.
It's a vocal style that I don't care for as a whole.
I agree.
But there are a few people who can do it well, and he's one of them.
Matt Harvey is definitely one of them. The big difference in the vocal styles between regular death metal and then, like, what people are calling, they call it pig vomit or pig vocals. It's regular death metal when it's more of an exhale. Mm-hmm. When they're doing this is more of an inhale, so you're actually taking air in. That's where you get that sound from.
Right.
So, but he doesn't do it the whole album. It's not the prominent style on this album. It's just like so we talked about Gruesome is one of his other side bands that he started.
Right.
And he's also started a 80s like thrash retro band, which you need to hear too.
Which one's that?
Pounder, I believe, is the name of the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's funny name.
Pounder?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not CCH either.
What?
The actors, CCH Pounder. Actor.
Okay. I didn't get that joke. Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't either.
So, you know, he's had this tribute project that basically it's a tribute to death, to Chuck Schuldiner, called Gruesome. And I'm a huge fan of Gruesome. And this album we were talking about, what their style is now, it's a tribute to what Carcass is, that style of catchy, guitar-driven death metal.
This is European-style death metal, not melodic death. I'm not talking about Gothenburg, you know, any of that stuff. This is it's that English death metal, but it has a total American attitude to it as well. It's just old school. It's very old school feeling to me.
And this album, it's actually a concept album about murders that happened in like the 1800s. So the whole album is a concept album. And there's a lot of intro orchestration. There's like three or four different tracks that are like these symphonic pieces that he's created. And there's a
more synthy than symphonic.
Yeah, okay, synthy.
Like they,
yeah,
they feel to me like a the synth soundtrack to a 1980s horror movie.
There you go.
Is what they feel like to me.
That's pretty apt right there. When I showed you earlier, there was a meme of Danny Filth.
Yeah.
And somebody created this, and it says, when the new in Exhumed has better scent than the new Cradle of Filth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a sad picture of Danny Filth. Fucking funny. But yeah, I listened to this album twice today, then listening to it more once we're getting prepared for this, and it's still a phenomenal album.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good. And they're going to be here on the 22nd, so I'm going to try to get an interview set up with Matt Harvey, just so we talk
tell
about.
Tell him I said he does a great Swedish chef.
I will tell him that. I will, you know, they're playing on a Wednesday, so it's a little difficult, but I'm going to try to. I made me sound really old when I said it like that. They're playing on a Wednesday. I don't know if I can make it out.
I don't know if I can make this.
That's
Wednesday.
A work night. But try to do a cool interview.
That's the real truth, though, man. I went to a concert on a Thursday. I fucking hated it on Friday.
But, you know, we'll talk to him about his music, but what we always like to talk to him about is geeky stuff. He's a huge Marvel nerd. I mean, this guy, he gave me a script he wrote, basically Marvel versus DC, like a movie he wrote, like comic book script. And it's the geekiest thing I've read in a long time. And it's phenomenal. It's great. So yeah, there's the new Exhumed on called Death Revenge out now. You might hear a full track on the upcoming MSR cast episode. Just put that out there. So final go around, George?
It's a pass.
It's a pass.
So I'm going to pass. I have better bands to listen to. Sorry.
So while we're on this topic, George is like, hey, I found this new metal band.
I mean, new is a hard word to say because like apparently that album's been out since 2016.
Okay. But something I'd never heard.
I'd never heard it until recently either. So.
And the look on my face when you started playing it, I'm like, holy crap, he likes something that I actually think is really good.
Justin had the exact same expression on his face, too.
It shows that we're wearing him down. That's what I thought when we were playing it earlier. I was like, oh, okay, so it's working.
we're chipping away at that stone.
I don't know. I mean, had I played this for me in high school, I would like it too, though.
We're chipping away band by band.
It hits all the right notes for me.
What was that band called again?
Orbit Culture.
Orbit Culture.
Yeah.
All right.
Two words.
Yeah, it's very European death metal style.
Melodic death metal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. I'm going to have to listen to it more.
Yeah, it's that album. They have two more. I haven't listened to the other two.
They're on
yet.
Spotify, so if you want to check them out. Yeah. Speaking of, the new Exhumed is on Spotify as well. Everything is on Spotify now. It's
almost
crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and then I've been listening to that and the new Trivium album.
I've heard one track and I wasn't really into it.
Well, because you don't like Trivium, so.
No, I did back in the day. I liked their first album a lot.
I think this is probably their best album since Ascendancy, so.
I don't know if I like that album. Was that their Metallica era?
Their first two albums is their Metallica era, so.
Yeah. No. The first album was good.
It was also very Metallica-esque.
Okay. But there
so
was
the second one.
There was one that sounded just like the Black album.
Yeah, that was the Ascendancy.
That was Ascendancy?
Yeah. Okay.
That's where they lost
There's Embers to Inferno, and then that was the first one.
Yep.
And then there was Ascendancy. I like those two albums a lot. In Waves is probably the next best one, but this new one blew that In Waves out of the water.
All right, I'll check it out. I mean, I'll give it a shot.
Like, it's a good album from beginning to end. Like, okay. There's not a song on there that I didn't like. Eh.
And they're coming soon with Arch Enemy, I think.
I kind of want to go to that.
I couldn't get into the new Arch Enemy. It wasn't very good.
I don't like Arch Enemy at all.
I stopped paying attention to Arch Enemy when Angela Gossow left. Honestly.
I mean, no. I mean, with her, Melissa, I can't think of her name.
Alyssa White Glutes.
Yeah, Alyssa White Glutes.
Glutes.
She's a good vocalist. It's just, when you have Jeff Loomis in your fucking band, and you don't let him write anything.
You don't let him,
There's a problem.
Yeah.
And the songs were just not very inspired. I mean, some of the old stuff was like really good, really catchy. Just nothing really stuck out that much to me on this album, but, you know, that is what it is. I don't have to like everything.
Word.
Right. All right, moving on.
So it's that time of the week where we talk about what's tickling our little geek. So, Carrie, what's tickling your little geek?
Actually, I'm excited for this. I have bought tickets for opening Thursday night showings of both Soar and Last Jedi.
I got tickets for Last Jedi as well.
What night did you go?
Thursday? Yeah. I tried buying tickets for the IMAX showing,
yeah.
But my app on my phone wouldn't let me purchase it. So I said, fuck it, I'm not going to buy this. And I was complaining to Catherine, and then Catherine surprised me the next day with tickets to another screening. But
I think, yeah, I don't know. We're doing the RPX theater at the AMC, so it's like the really great town and all that. So
yeah, I would go
bigger theater too.
You texted me and give me tickets to that, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna drive that far to go see Star Wars.
We're doing Thor Ragnarok there too.
Ragnarok
and roll, man.
I want to see that. It's good reviews for that.
Reviews are like, it's sitting close to like 100% still.
Well, I was saying it's the most entertaining Marvel film yet. It's funny.
Yeah,
Marvel film. Which makes sense, considering the director behind it.
Yeah.
I finally saw, what's the name of that movie?
What We Do in the Shadows.
We Do in the Shadows.
It's a great movie.
I fucking love movie.
It's great.
What else does that guy do? What else did he direct?
He did The Hunt for the Wilder People.
Which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, it's great.
What is that one about?
It's the one with Sam Neill and his wife adopt a little gangster boy from London, or from the city. And he doesn't really adapt well, and the mom dies. So now Sam Neill is stuck with his kid.
It doesn't sound funny at all.
Oh, it's fucking hilarious.
Okay.
And what else? Taika also was one of the main creators for Flight of the Conchords.
Oh, okay. That makes sense now. Yeah. I watched
that. That's why he works with that.
Jermaine Clement.
Yeah. A lot, yeah. They're friends and shit.
Okay. So. Makes sense now. But yeah, What We Do in the Shadows is. That was a phenomenal fucking movie.
Yeah,
who is your favorite vampire?
Probably the one
Jermaine
they always
is my favorite.
Probably the one they always crapped on. The one who like
all the chores?
Yeah.
Deacon.
Is that I think so.
He's like the youngest one of them. Yeah, it's Deacon. My favorite.
Vladislav
the Poker is my favorite.
Or the
Which one is that one again?
He's the Jermaine Clement.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite,
too. He's fucking hilarious.
The part where he does the Bram Stoker outfit at the party. Fucking, I lost my shit at that. It was hilarious.
Such a funny. I think it's not a lot of people talk about that movie. It's very underrated.
I saw it twice in theaters.
I've heard rumor that they're talking about doing a movie about the werewolves.
Yeah. Is this supposed to be doing a sequel?
Oh, really?
Yeah,
the werewolves, not swearwolves.
Yeah. That'd be great.
We're werewolves, not swearwolves.
I like the guy they turned into a vampire. They sired. That guy was pretty funny too.
He was my least favorite. I think
it's great. I mean, if you haven't
seen
it,
but yeah,
I know y'all kept on talking about it for a long time, and I was like, finally on Amazon Video one day, I'm like, oh, there's that movie.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna watch it.
Yeah. And it's a great Halloween movie.
Yeah, no, it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of
Halloween.
So what's on your geek tickle right now?
Well, I was going to talk about how I'm excited that I got tickets for Last Jedi, but you took that wind out of the sail.
Sorry.
Motherfucker.
You asked me.
No, what I'm excited about is for Thanksgiving, actually. My house is going to hopefully be done by the week before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to have a Friendsgiving at my house. So I'm really excited to have my friends over. You included. I did invite Dave, but they are working that weekend, unfortunately. But I'm excited to be in a furnished home.
Yeah,
And have walls and have a floor and also be with friends and eat a lot of food and feel ungodly stuffed.
Like the turkey that you're going to serve.
Yep. Yeah, we're going to have turkey, pot roast, mashed potatoes, mac and cheese.
We'll talk offline. I'll bring something good.
Off air. But off air. Whatever you want to bring. Yeah.
I make a killer mac and cheese.
I'm excited for this year's Friends. This is the first time I'm actually doing Friendsgiving. So.
If somebody else is bringing mac and cheese, it's never bad to have more than one.
No, you can always have multiples of dishes.
That's right.
Are good.
That's right. What about you, Dave? What are you looking forward to right now?
Obviously, Halloween. I'm sad that it's going to be over.
Really?
Yeah.
You're sad that Halloween came and went.
I will be.
Why is that?
Because Halloween's the best. I love Halloween.
I just want Halloween.
I want it
all the time.
But we actually, I'll say that this came up in conversation in between segments. So I'll say that this week I started I finally checked out Nurgle from Behemoth, his quote-unquote country album that came out earlier this year.
It's not country.
It's not really a country album. It's
it was a joke.
No, it's not a joke either, but it's it has country elements, but to me it feels way more like an old-school goth album.
It's goth rock with like a little bit of like rockabilly.
Country. Yeah.
It's not really... It's like old country.
I dig it though.
Yeah.
I do like some country music. It tends to be some of the older stuff, some of the outlaw country stuff. Yeah. I like that kind of stuff.
I do too.
So it has enough of that flavor in it, but it's not really a country album. Like, I couldn't put this in front of somebody who likes country music and be like, oh, you'd like this. They wouldn't. But if I put it in front of somebody who's an old school goth, yes, they'd be like, oh yeah, this is cool.
If you like Nick
this.
Cave, you would dig this.
Like Nick Cage.
No, not Nick Cage. And not Luke Cage, Nick Cave.
I don't know who Nick Cave is.
Okay, then you wouldn't like it. No, I agree. I've watched some of the music videos that they did. There's one of him just like hanging out in a strip club. Yeah.
As a sidebar, another thing I'm excited about is that fucking Gore music video you shared.
Yes.
That was a fucking awesome music video.
You gonna go see Gore with us?
Maybe. I'm kind of interested.
Like in November here. The new album's really, really good.
I haven't listened to it. But that song is cool. And the way they shot that video was pretty fucking great.
No, yeah. It was great.
The only thing, you know, it was like, I wish they would have spent a little bit more on some lighting. But, you know, it is what it is.
It's Gore.
Yeah, it's Gore. Exactly. Like, it doesn't have to look great. But some of the effects they did in that video looks pretty fucking good.
No, I agree. It's a great video.
Yeah. Whoever made that, kudos.
I missed their last couple tours. The last tour they were here, they were like on like Warped Tour or something, and they did a tour before that. But the last time I saw them with the tour they did right after Odorous passed away, and it was a weird show because it was a very emotional show because the whole show was like they're trying to save Odorous from like this interdimensional being or something, and they wound up not saving him. He died, and you're just like, man, it's too real, man. He's really dead. It was sad, but.
And then they came out with a comic book.
They did come out with a comic book. I have them right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading them. They're good.
Yeah?
Yeah, if you like Gore, if you like that type of
humor.
Gore-ness, let's just call it Gore-ness.
It's humor.
Yeah.
It's gory humor.
It. Yeah, it's the comic is put out by Dynamite. It's called Gore Orgasmageddon.
Gore-mageddon.
Yeah.
Let me see.
There you go.
How many issues are they going to get?
I think there's four. Which,
cool. You're only missing one.
Yeah. Why don't? It's weird. I don't have issue number three.
Orgasmageddon.
I have to hit the up my comic
pretty,
shop
art
for
on
that.
There is pretty good.
I guess that's it for what we're geeking out on. There's a couple little small things I wanted to talk about. I want to pay tribute to a couple people that passed away. One is founding bass player and lead, he was in the band for a long time. Of course, I'm talking about Martin Eric Ain, A-I-N. He was a bass player from Celtic Frost for a long, long time. The first couple albums, he was out of the band for a while, and he came back when they did their reunion back in like the late 2000s, like 2007-ish, 2008.
Yeah,
Monotheist.
I think that's about right.
I saw him on that tour.
Monotheist is such a badass album.
It's great. And
fuck.
If you listen to the next Dimmis Arcast, we've already picked out a song. The song that he sang on that album we're going to play. But I got to see him on that tour. They played with Typo Negative. An awesome fucking tour.
They're so great negative.
Show. I was not negative that night. It was fun. unfortunately, he was young, too. He was only like 50 when he passed away. And then, not a huge fan of these guys anymore, but... original guitar player for Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids, Daisy Berkowitz, passed away at the age of 49.
Wow.
So, and it's weird. I still have their first album autographed by the entire band. So maybe I should eBay that now.
Did you ever listen to Pale Emperor?
Pale Emperor?
The Manson album?
The last album, right?
Yeah, he was supposed to put another one out, but it never...
No, a new one just came out, like, beginning of this month.
Oh, is it out now?
Yeah, there's a new one out now.
It was delayed heavily, I think.
Okay.
But the one prior, the Pale Emperor.
Yeah, that was a great album.
That was really good, actually. Yeah. I was surprised at how good it was.
This new Manson album's not great.
Really?
I don't like it.
I really liked the early stuff. It was good. I like the Portrait of an American Family. I liked that album. It's fun. They sort of lost me halfway through the career, but, you know, whatever.
Because he got popular.
Yeah. No, that's not why.
Too hipster for you.
It's too hipster for him.
Oh, I got it.
So I guess before we head out, we're going to have to talk about our sponsor real quick. They still have a deal going on where you could win an SNES Classic. So follow our sponsors on their Twitter, which, of course, you can go to tantrumcollectibles.com. If you're looking for any kind of Funko and a pre-order stuff that's not out yet, if you want to also look for Bandai Artifacts, Band Presto is another one of those brands that they carry. If you want to put in your code, Metal Geeks, save you how much?
10%.
10% off your entire order.
Whole 10%.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amazing.
Yes, sir.
Amazing. Ain't that amazing?
All right, Hulhauser. Okay, do you know who Hulhauser was before you listened to Hollywood Babylon?
No, I did not.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
No, I mean, I've been hearing about it for the past 4 or 5 years, yeah. But I don't know who the fuck he is. I know most of the people that he does. I don't know.
Well, he was a California guy, so we wouldn't really know him that well. But I watched some videos. You know, he used to go around and interview people. That's basically what he did. Sort of cool.
Amazing.
But still, if you want to save your 10%, where do you have to go?
Where do you go, Dave?
Tantrum.
Tantrumcollectibles.com.
There you go. And follow them on their social media as well. They are doing that SNES Classic, and we'll retweet that a few more times at Metal Geeks on the Twitter. You can also follow us on Instagram at Metal Geeks, and you can find us on Facebook at Metal Geeks. Find our sister show, MSR Cast, on Twitter and MSR Cast Official on the Facebook. And where can they find you guys?
I am currently hard at work for issue number 3 to come out for Speak No Evil. So you can check out issues 1 and 2 of Speak No Evil on Comixology or on our website at Gray Bear Comics. It's G-R-A-Y. And you can also check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We're going to be trying to come up with a game plan to do some events next year just to kind of sell the book and get it out there and get into more hands and stuff. So follow along. Check out some sneak peeks for issues 3 and 4. Also, I do a show with my co-writer. We have a comedy show called Mind Fudge Comedy where we just talk about a certain topic and make fun of that topic for about an hour. Or make fun of each other, really, is what we do. We just laugh at each other.
Yeah.
So.
That's very true.
Mind Fudge Comedy. Go check it out. And our comic book, Speak No Evil.
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can currently find me for about another month or so at the Texas Renaissance Festival in Florence Market. I'm in the Battle Maiden Fine Art booth, and that's number F12.
Awesome. Now, speaking of Speak No Evil real quick, I have to give you and our good friend, Justin, your co-host, a big thank you because you put me in the comic book in issue number 2.
Oh, I mean, there's no way we couldn't.
Right. But as a present, you guys gave me the actual production page from the issue.
Oh, yeah, the actual ink.
Yeah, the inked page. It's really cool. I already got it in a frame ready for you guys to autograph, and I'll hang it up.
I don't know. I'm kind of scared to autograph because Samir did such an amazing job. I don't want to taint it.
Well, sign it in the white part.
Yeah, we're on the very bottom corner somewhere.
Yeah, real small, you know. So when I go sell it on eBay.
You go. At least you'll get a better return
Get a better ROI.
There you go.
All right, so thanks for tuning in to episode 139 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. Last thing we have to say?
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky, bitches, thanks. On Halloween! Happy Halloween!
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.